SM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Good morning. Happy Friday to you. Welcome into the final day of the work week for many of us. The day before the Ides of March. So, you know, we're going to be playing some vehicle for you later on. Of course, it's also now Fun Friday, which we'll get into in just a little bit. Actually, I can tell you one part of where we're going to have fun is coming up in at 7:30. We're going to be joined by the comedy barbarian, Mike McCarthy. He's going to join us to get us ready for St. Patrick's Day with some fun jokes and a good time. And then in the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to be joined by Cheryl Bartlett. She's the president and CEO of the Greater New Bedford Community Health Center, looking to dispel some of the myths and rumors that have been floating around on social media about the funding for their services and whether or not they're even still providing them. So we'll talk with her coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. And, of course, we'll talk to you throughout the show at 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails are both available to you on the WBSM app. And while we're talking about comedy and we're talking about having fun, today is the last day to enter to win tickets to see Adam Ray as Dr. Phil. If you've never seen Adam Ray perform, he does a dead-on Dr. Phil impression. He's a stand-up comedian, but this is one of the things that he does is he portrays Dr. Phil, and they do a show called Dr. Phil Live, and it's happening Thursday, March 27th at MGM Music Hall at Fenway, and you could be going there to see it. This is one of those experiences that you just got to kind of see to believe. And you can check out on YouTube, seeing Adam Ray as Dr. Phil, and get an idea for what he does. But it's basically kind of a satire, a parody of the Dr. Phil show. But he picks the guests sometimes out of the audience. Sometimes they are random celebrities that you had no idea were going to be there. So you can enter to win that right now at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. If you just go to the top of the page, you'll see the chance there to enter to win tickets to see Adam Ray as Dr. Phil. And as with all of our ticket contests here on WBSM, it is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits, the home of the Purple Dot, where you can try before you buy, located at 115 Huddleston Avenue in Fairhaven. We'll talk more about Stevie's a little bit later on today. But we've got a comedy kind of day for you, as well as some serious stuff, too. And one of the questions that I've been getting asked, and I'm sure all the hosts here have been getting asked, is if we have read this spotlight series called Snitch City about the New Bedford Police Department. And there's a podcast series and a print series. I have not been able to dive into either yet. So yesterday, I don't want to pay for another subscription to something. I don't read enough in the Boston Globe to make it worth having a monthly subscription. So I was trying to find somebody that had a subscription that would either, you know, share their login info with me or would send me the story itself. And it was kind of a pain to find somebody that would do it. So what I did is I signed up for... There's a trial for 99 cents a week. So it's like $3.98 or something you can sign up for. And so I did that. And then I printed out copies of the story for all the hosts to be able to read it. And I spent so much time doing all that, I didn't read it myself yet. Had a pretty busy day yesterday, so I'm hoping over the weekend. Now, the third part is supposed to drop today. So they'll have the third written installment and the third podcast. And so I'm hoping to spend a little time this weekend, although I don't really want to spend, 4 or 5 hours this weekend dedicated to reading this. But I know that a lot of you want to talk about it. And I certainly want to be able to ask Council President Burgo about it on Monday. So I'm going to try and get it done. But I welcome, if you want to call in and talk about it now, even though I'm not familiar with everything, I've kind of glanced over it. And I'd be willing to take your calls on it at 508-996-0500. Even though it is Fun Friday, we can still talk about serious things. And it'll be interesting, too, to hear Mayor Mitchell's reaction to it when he's on with Chris on Wednesday. Because what people are telling me is that, it says that Police Chief Paul Oliveira has long been under, been under FBI investigation as if it's been an ongoing thing. There's just been multiple times this has happened, but never any charges filed or any kind of repercussions. And I guess this series tries to make it look like Mayor Mitchell is complicit in, at least being aware of Chief Oliveira's doings. And as you heard Barry saying yesterday, this is a lot of nothing. But I'm hearing from other people that aren't coming away with it with the same perspective. I'm hearing people that are saying things like, it's a good thing he's retiring or else he would have to be fired over this. So again, I haven't read it yet. I've just kind of glanced through it. But I will get into it over the weekend. But that doesn't mean I still don't want to talk to you at 508-996-0500. And again, it can be had for, the podcast is free. You can listen to the podcast of Snitch City without a subscription. But if you want to get the printed story, for that you have to have a digital subscription to the Globe. They're running a special where you can get it for 99 cents a week for the first 4 weeks. So you're looking at under $4 to sign up, but make sure that you cancel it, because then it's like just about $7 a week after that. So, almost $30 a month just for the digital subscription. And I get it in today's day and age, journalism lives online, and that's where a majority of the audience is going to be. The print newspaper doesn't do nearly the numbers that it used to, not even for the Boston Globe. And so you don't want to be giving the product away for free on the web when people are no longer buying the print product. But I think $30 a month is a lot of money. And they're looking at it, it costs you, $100 a month to have the print version, or whatever it is that they charge these days. Yeah, but for $30 a month, I'll still just not read your paper. I can still get the news elsewhere. And I used to get the Globe delivered. When I first moved out on my own in my 20s, I got the Boston Globe and the Standard Times every day. I got upset when I asked the Standard Times, hey, since I work here and since I write a lot of the stuff in the paper, can I just have a subscription? I'm like, no, we don't do that. You can pick up a paper here every day. Well, I don't come in every day, and I want it waiting for me in the morning when I wake up. Drive from Wareham to New Bedford just to get a paper. So I subscribed, and so I got, and I really just got the Globe for the sports. I didn't subscribe to the Herald because I worked at the diner and we got the Herald. Every day, the boss bought or would have, you know, the employees go out to the machines and we could buy two Heralds, two Standard Times, and a Cape Cod Times for the people at the counter to read. But, you know, good luck getting one of those. Usually, at some point, I'd get the Herald Sports section. I could read that. And then I liked the Sunday comics in the Globe. But other than that, I didn't really read a lot of the stuff in the paper. And I couldn't imagine, I was probably paying $30 a month for home delivery back then. I can't imagine what it would be now. And I can't imagine how much of it is actually, you know, worthwhile. And that's in any newspaper. I mean, I've seen the print Standard Times. It's a joke compared to what it used to be. And even their online stuff is always days or if not weeks behind, with a few exceptions here and there. So, you can pay the 99 cents a week and be able to read this Spotlight series, but just be aware that after 4 weeks, it's going to automatically charge your card $6.98 per week. That's why at WBSM.com, we'll never charge you. People complain, well, I go on your website and you've got ads all over your website. Well, that's how we pay for, that's how we make it so you don't have to pay for reading our content. So that allows us to still give you a free user experience. Because otherwise, you know, I could only imagine what the readership numbers would be if we had to start charging people. And then you say, what am I doing this for if nobody's reading it? And believe me, I come from working in the newspaper business. I have no illusions about, you know, where I worked in the newspaper business or, you know, what the circulation was or how many people were reading my stuff. But I will tell you that in 20 years of writing for the newspaper, which had a circulation of what, I think 35,000 for most of my time there. I only got like a handful of emails from readers ever. And it was always that they recognized me. You know, it was always that they wrote to me based on something that I wrote in Dine Out. That was it. I had one guy that would write to me about my sports takes who thought, you know, I should be doing your job, guy. Like, no. And then everything else was always about Dine Out, restaurant reviews. And even then, I don't think I got more than 10 emails in my entire career. Again, the biggest thing I ever wrote the thing that got the biggest reaction ever wasn't the Celtics winning a championship. It wasn't my Patriots coverage. It was when I wrote that restaurants should give free refills as an offhand comment in a dine out. But anyway, I had no illusions about how many people were reading my stuff when I could kind of judge that on the feedback that I got. If I was out in public or if somebody recognized my name somewhere, it was usually either because of the dine-outs or because of the wrestling column that I used to write about pro wrestling. That was it. And that was from 2001 to 2020. When people were still reading newspapers. I can only imagine what the readership must be like then if that's the reaction that I got. Now, here, people will come up to me all the time and talk to me about things that I've written. Because we don't make you pay to read it. People still want to consume the content. They just don't want to have to shell out $30 a month to do it. Anyway, 508-996-0500. Let me take my first break of the morning, and we will be right back. You knew I was going to have to play some U2 on the verge of St. Patrick's Day. Wait till Monday. So we're going to take some of your calls coming up at 508-996-0500 and your app chat messages. Mimi says, I pay for the Boston Globe $6 per month for the digital version. That's a really good deal because they're trying to charge $7 a week. And she says, I have been paying that for the last couple of years. I'm pretty sure you can play Let's Make a Deal with them in establishing your price. Maybe you have to call and talk to them about it because, and when you try to go and pay online with a credit card, it's just, you're signing up for whatever their price is. So what I did is I signed up for it through a PayPal account because you can use a debit card or PayPal or a credit card or PayPal. So I signed up for it through a PayPal account that I don't keep any money in. And that isn't linked to my bank account. So I just transfer money into there from another PayPal account when I need money in there. And then that way there, I use that to sign up for anything where there's a trial period that then starts to auto charge you. I always use that account to sign up for it when I can, because that way there, if I forget, there won't be any money in there. So I don't have to keep paying for the subscription. So that's a little trick I figured out for myself that works for my bookkeeping and my record keeping. So it's linked to a bank account that I haven't had for quite a few years, but it'll tell me every once in a while. I get a message that says you need to connect a bank account. You need to connect a bank account. And then I just haven't. Eventually it's going to realize that I don't have one connected and then shut down the account. But for now it works. Maybe because they see that I make those transfers occasionally, you know, so I just go over there and put $4 in and some can sign up for the 99-cent a week trial period. Anyway, it's time now to go to the newsroom and get all the top stories of the day from Mike Roberts.
Passengers evacuated following a plane fire in Denver. Weekly jobless claims are down a bit, and it's time to break out the green.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
A watchdog group is raising concerns about whether the FAA's business with Elon Musk's Starlink violates conflict of interest laws, the Campaign Legal Center wrote in a letter to the Transportation Department's Inspector General that Musk, quote, blatantly and improperly influenced the FAA's work with Starlink. It's come under criticism recently after reports that the Trump administration was considering canceling Verizon's $2.4 billion contract in favor of Musk's satellite communications firm. Fewer Americans than expected filed for first-time unemployment benefits last week. The Labor Department reports receiving 220,000 initial applications versus the forecast of 225,000. That's about 2,000 fewer than the week before. If you enjoy European spirits, you may want to stock up on some soon. President Trump intends to place a 200% tariff on all alcoholic products from the European Union. Michael Kastner reports.
Trump said it would be in response to a 50% tariff on whiskey implemented by the EU. The president said the union was created for, in his words, the sole purpose of taking advantage of the U.S. He added the tariff will be great for champagne and wine businesses across the country. I'm Michael Kastner.
Passengers on an American Airlines flight at Denver International Airport had to be evacuated following an aircraft fire. The fire was in an American Airlines plane that was sitting at a gate last night, producing visible smoke. Passengers were evacuated with slides deployed. No injuries reported. Governor Kathy Hochul of New York is headed to the White House this morning to meet with President Trump about New York's sanctuary city status. The meeting comes after the Justice Department hit several city hotel shelters with federal subpoenas seeking names, birth dates, and other information about immigrant asylum seekers. Hochul says
We will not be cooperating in terms of state police not assisting unless they have a warrant for someone's arrest or have proof that this person is a dangerous individual.
Chicago's famous Green River started with a simple idea by the head of the Plumbers Union. According to Jim Coyne, general chairman of the Chicago Parade,
Stephen M. Bailey had the idea. One of his plumbers came in to see him, and on his overalls there was this bright green stain.
And he had said that he was trying to discover a broken pipe. When the dye hit the water, it bubbled up green. Every year since 1962, the Chicago River has been dyed green on the Saturday before St. Patrick's Day. And even though we don't dye our water green, a parade might be on your to-do list this weekend. WBSM.com has a list of all the local parades happening nearby, including Newport, South Boston, and the tiny one in Little Compton.
WBSM Sports.
Bruins fell to the Ottawa Senators 6-3 last night. The Tampa Bay Lightning head to the Garden tomorrow at 7. The Patriots have parted way with 8-time team captain and 2-time Super Bowl champ David Andrews. He played 10 seasons with the Pats after signing as a rookie in 2015. Andrews only appeared in 4 games last year due to injuries. 4 finalists have come forward in the bidding process for the purchase of the Boston Celtics. On the list are current Celtics co-owner Steve Pagliuca and Phillies co-owner Stan Middleman. The others are the Friedkin Group and William Chisholm, who is the managing partner of the Symphony Technology Group. The sale of the Celtics is expected to be upwards of $6 billion. The Red Sox will be without a member of their starting rotation to start the regular season. Manager Alex Cora confirmed yesterday that right-hander Lucas Giolito will begin the year on the injured list with a hamstring injury. Boston begins the regular season on March 27th when they visit the Texas Rangers.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
We wake up with temperatures right around freezing this morning. By the afternoon, we are quite mild along the South Coast. Low and mid-50s today. Christina Schallhoop on New Bedford's News Talk Station, 1420 WBSM.
This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Mike Roberts for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station and get breaking news alerts and all of our content with the WBSM app.
Back in. That's the White Stripes, another band I didn't appreciate at the time and came to appreciate later on when it was too late. But anyway, 508-996-0500, app chat and open line voicemails available to you on the WBSM app. And it is Fun Friday. We're going to be in about an hour joined by the comedy barbarian Mike McCarthy. We're going to be getting you ready for St. Patrick's Day and his upcoming performance here in New Bedford. And then in the 8 o'clock hour, we will talk with Cheryl Bartlett, the CEO, president and CEO of the Greater New Bedford Community Health Center, dispelling some of the rumors that are going on about that facility. And being Fun Friday, I thought I would tie this into something that certainly is nostalgic for me. And a lot of you will probably, this is a thing that might be a little bit different generationally. But I was thinking back to every time St. Patrick's Day comes around, one thing pops into my mind, okay? Not corned beef and cabbage, not green beer,
not Irish whiskey, all these things that you think that as an adult I would associate with St. Patrick's Day, and I do. But to me, one memory always pops back into my head, whether I'm thinking about the holiday or when I walk into the store and I see the St. Patrick's Day decorations or the napkins and plates and stuff like that and all that. It's always the one school project that we did every St. Patrick's Day for years. And that was making the leprechaun with the, you use the little brass fasteners. You remember it was like a circular head, and then it had the little pointed legs. You pushed it through something, a piece of paper, and then you spread those two little legs apart, and it would make it so that you could move the. So what you would do is you would basically make all the body parts of the leprechaun, then use those little fasteners to connect the pieces together so that you had an articulated paper leprechaun. And we used to make ours out of, I don't even know if this is like an actual name for it or if it was just what my teachers called it, but oak tag. It wasn't construction paper. It was thicker than construction paper, oak tag. And we would use that and we would pop those little fasteners through and we would make that leprechaun. And I was so proud of that every year, even though we did it every year. My mom would hang on to them, you know, the ones that all the five kids made, and she'd have to hang them all up. But that was the one school project thing that I always looked forward to every year. I didn't want to make stuff at Christmas time to bring home. I didn't want to make stuff at Easter to bring home. But that leprechaun was always my favorite. And I think because it, you know, it moved. And because you can get silly with it. I loved that. That was my favorite. So what was your favorite holiday to celebrate at school? We would have a St. Patrick's Day party with chocolate coins, green cupcakes. And back in those days, we had, you know, you could bring in high C and give that to kids. It wasn't quite the Ecto Cooler time yet, though. But you could bring in that green Kool-Aid, the dark green Kool-Aid, and bring that in and give it to kids. And then we would play Irish music and, you know, dance around. I wasn't much of a dancer, but I liked the music. To me, that was the best school holiday party. I never really liked the Christmas one because kids always thought that I was Jewish and that I didn't celebrate Christmas when I did. You know, some Halloween was never, I never liked Halloween parties in school because they wouldn't let you wear a scary costume. Like there was too many restrictions on it. Valentine's Day was my least favorite of all because you just put that little envelope on the front of your desk for everybody to drop in the Valentine's, and either they didn't require you to drop it in, you know, to give one to every kid, and then I never got any, or they required you to give one to every kid, and I just felt like I was opening, you know, 28 pity Valentine's. Doing this because I have two Valentines. But that leprechaun, that was what I look forward to every year. The only other school project that I ever liked nearly as much as that is one year at Christmas time, they taught us how to make ice cream cone ornaments. We took those ball ornaments, the ones with like the string on them, not the glass ones, but it's like, I don't even know how to describe it, but it's like, you know, it's like string all across it. And if you pull on it, it starts to fall apart. But it's, we would take those, we would put some Elmer's glue, and you would either pour the Elmer's glue over the top of it as is, or dye it to like a chocolatey color, put that over the top of the ball, put some sprinkles or jimmies on top of that, and then take that ball and glue it to an ice cream cone. And then you had an ice cream ornament. My mom had those on her tree for years because I just started making a whole bunch of them. And I was giving them to all the family. I was like, this is so much fun. But that leprechaun was my favorite. I wish I had one today. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim.
How you doing?
Gilly Safules.
You were the leprechaun that I was making with that, right?
Oh no, no.
No, you came to life, brought me a pot of gold this morning.
Good for you. Wanna share it?
What's on your mind today, Gilly?
What do you think is on my mind?
I'm gonna guess the city council.
No, try the mayor.
The mayor, okay.
And the chief of police.
Oh, have you read the series, the stories?
I sure did. I read it. And the thing that really amazed me is that there was a thing about that the FBI was investigating Paul for stealing drugs when he was working. So the part that really gets me is when I can understand with the mayor. You know, I've always said this, that the mayor, that was his boy. And when Joe Cordero, remember I said this a million times, Joe Cordero called me about Mitchell if he holds grudges, because he told, Joe Cordero told me that the only way he would get the job, Mitchell said to him, that he has to take Paul with him. And a lot of the other captains dropped out because of all the stuff. So I can understand the man not knowing what was going on. But when he first, when he came and he was the chief of police and he started burning all those, shedding all those papers, I can understand it. But why did he reappoint him? Everybody said, you know, why did he reappoint him when he tried to go down to Falmouth?
I don't know.
Well, I'm just saying, that's what, if you read the article, he didn't know the first time. We'll give him the benefit of the doubt. But everybody says how smart this guy is. And I think he was smart, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the second time around, he didn't know about it. Okay? There's something fishy. I've been telling everybody, something's coming down the line.
Well, did you see the other story, too? There's a story about how when 3 months after he became chief, Chief Olivero was having these old files destroyed, which is totally legal and totally okay. He applied for the permission to be able to do it, and they granted it. But Mayor Mitchell was not aware that had happened when the Globe asked him about it.
That's what he says to you.
Well, that's what he told the Globe.
You know what I mean? It's always a cover-up. I've been saying this all along with everybody. It's always a cover-up. We're giving him the thing at the first time when you appointed him. He had to know the second time around when he appointed him and gave him a raise when Falmouth didn't want him. And then all of a sudden the guy retires, and I was telling him it's coming down the line. It's coming down the line. Stuff is coming. But nobody wants this city for years. They circle the wagons if they want to bury you. And that's what they, if Mitchell was so smart, you're trying to tell me, he looks kind of foolish right now.
All right.
And he let him retire. So now, you know, after you get caught, there's going to be a lot more coming out.
Well, there's another part coming out today, that's for sure. I'm going to hold you there, Gilly, because I got another caller I want to take before the break.
Okay, but I don't want to say anything, but I told you guys, and you've seen what I said about he's the biggest what in that city, in that police station. So have a good day.
You as well. Take care. And let me take this other call here before I got to take that break. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good. I'm calling because a while ago you were giving your opinions about what's going on in the politics and talking about Trump and your side of things.
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoyed that. But it seems like you're not doing that anymore. And for one, I would appreciate it because I take my husband listens to you in the morning when he's getting ready, and then he leaves the radio on. And I listen to you while I get my son ready, and then I go to drop him off and come back home, and then this other clown's on the radio, and he is very disgusting in his opinions.
Well, I mean, and, let's not insult the other hosts. It's
in my opinion, and I really prefer your stance on things, and I think that your voice is needed in contrast to that. So I would hope that you can talk a little bit more about those things, a little bit, you know. I don't know. And another thing is, that's what I'm calling about. And another thing is, why have you slowed down on talking about that stuff?
Well, I mean, I appreciate the compliments, but I look at it as our job here is to be as local as possible, because you can talk about national politics anywhere, but the only place you can talk about things going on here locally is this show, is this station. So I try to keep things local as possible. Sometimes the stuff in the national news just gets to the point of, you know, we've got to address that, we've got to talk about that, or I know that that's something that the callers want to address and want to talk about. But basically, it's also, you know, it gets to the point where when everything is ridiculous every day, I don't want to come on here and talk about how ridiculous everything is every day, because my eyes just glaze over with it.
Mine do too. And I don't really engage too much. But, you know, I do listen to you in the morning, and a couple insights here and there probably, I think, is needed.
Well, and I will say, too, feel free to always call in with any thoughts that you might have about what's going on as well, because that can help kickstart that discussion.
Okay.
All right. You have a good weekend.
Thank you.
All right. I've got to take a break here. We will be back in a few moments. And welcome back in. It is Fun Friday, and I got an app chat message from Law and Order in a Cushion, who says, spot on with the St. Patrick's School project. Have not heard the term oak tag in quite some time. And I looked it up. Apparently, oak tag is still a thing. You can still get it, but I don't know. Like, I don't know where you get it. They used to have a store in Plymouth when I was a kid, because I went to elementary school in Plymouth, called A Wing and a Prayer downtown. And it was where you would go to get, like, the stuff you would use at school. And it's where I would go to get, like, Bill Harley cassettes and albums and things like that. Bill Harley's a local singer-songwriter who creates music for kids. And that's where I would go if I needed oak tag. Then I discovered poster board, and I was like, well, this is even better. But anyway, yes. So I was talking about the leprechaun you would make with the little brackets that would, his arms and legs would move. And maybe I'm going to go get some oak tag and make one of those. All right, I'm going to take one more break here before the end of the hour. And we're going to be going to the news in just a moment.